views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is a joy and a delight to be with you. Dorothy and I are continuing on our month-long exploration of harmlessness, and it's such a delight in this world today to be talking about harmlessness and reminding ourselves of how important it is to turn the other direction away from a world that tends to focus on the harm and focus on the separation and to create a new paradigm or an improved one where we're focusing more on harmlessness and ways to incorporate that into our lives. I look forward to our discussion. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy. How are you?
Good. Hi, Steve. And I'm particularly glad that we're talking about this topic because, as we've said before, harm is so pervasive that it starts to be a norm. We start to get numb to it. And particularly in today's political environment, it's really important to be alert to all the different forms of harm around us and understand how we can proactively be harmless.
It really is omnipresent, and I really look forward today to what we're going to talk about because it seems to permeate not only our lives, but once it starts to seep into our mind, it then transforms our thoughts. So we have to really be mindful. We have to really be aware of what we're thinking. So today we're going to talk about thought, word, and deed, and ways that we can be certain that we are harmless in thought, word, and deed. That's pretty sure of myself, right? That we can be certain we're harmless in thought, word, and deed.
Steve, I want to start out the program just telling our listeners that this is an intentional collaboration between our two organizations. Beautiful. I'm representing the School for Esoteric Studies, which is an educational nonprofit that provides esoteric discipleship training to those wanting to deepen their spiritual practice. And we are delighted to be partnering with Spirit Fire.
Yes. Cooperation, you know, it's a really wonderful way to just explore a relationship, huh? And really observe, finding middle ground, listening to another, working together, co-creating. All of those tend to move us towards harmlessness. And at least when we're cooperating and we're co-creating, we've got the other to remind us if we've crossed a line or we're not so sure of boundaries, or boundaries need to be sort of more firm, right, Dorothy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Spirit Fire. Just tell the listeners just a sec about Spirit Fire. I represent Spirit Fire. My name is Steve Kramer. I often start without even saying that, but that's written all over our documents, huh? I'm here with Spirit Fire, and we are an educational nonprofit focused on finding ways and educating people, ways that they can incorporate spirituality into their everyday life. And we've got our own meditation practice. I'm super excited. The Practice of Living Awareness has started this week. It's an online meditation practice. It's free, 14 steps, very wonderful practice for beginners and for even advanced practitioners. Check it out at spiritfire.com. In our meditation tab. And yes, Dorothy, harmlessness.
Well, Steve, one of the reasons why I mentioned our organizations right off was I wanted to say in relation to harmlessness in what we think that the school recently ran our annual subjective conference. And in the context of that conference, we were thinking about harmlessness, and the consistent feedback that we got from participants was that the most difficult arena in which to be harmless was in our thoughts. Mm. When we act overtly, you know, when we speak overtly, there's an audience, we become aware that we, you know, need to be careful. But in what we consider the privacy of our thoughts, it's easy to get just a little bit lazier, if I could say that, or, you know, not as mindful, not as careful about what we're thinking.
Right, because you've got to check yourself. You know, you've got to sort of keep yourself in check, and you've got to sort of exercise the observer.
Mm-hmm.
That leads me to want to talk about meditation.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we use our mind constantly, and we've talked about we had a whole month talking about right thought, right speech, and we talked quite a bit within that about thought form, that thoughts are actually forms. And so we come into contact with them all day, and as we think, we're actually creating a thought that exists actually in the ethers as a thing, much like a chair exists in a room. So we've got to get to know our mind. We use it all the time, but have we really taken the time to get to know it and to know its habits and know its patterns and perhaps even update its software every now and again? You know, our mind is actually located in a computer after all, so we've got to keep it up to date. So meditation is a wonderful way to do that. And in the beginning, of much of meditation is really just getting to know the mind. There's a wonderful passage in a book called Rebel Buddha that I would recommend to any of our listeners. Is a really modern take on Buddhism and what is meditation, what is the mind. And there's a section called Getting Together with Your Mind, in which the author, whose name is Dzogchen Ponlop, he talks about taking your mind, getting to know your mind is like taking a new friend out for tea, that you simply have to be a good listener in order to get to know this new friend well and to build trust. You have to find a quiet place for this tea, get comfortable, be fully present, and just let your new friend talk. And that is your mind. So we find, you know, a space for meditation. We get comfortable, we get present, and we simply observe. It's a bit like watching a wild horse being tamed. You know, the monkey mind is what they call the mind that's always thinking, always moving. And our mind is doing that all the time. It's built to do that. It's created to do that. But we can get in the place of the observer where just because your mind is creating thoughts, and we can train ourselves out of that, but your mind is often thinking thoughts, but we can find a place to reside above that and observe. And it's a lot like taming a wild horse. I know I grew up near Chincoteague Island, and you'd see them sort of moving the horses, and they'd catch the horses, but not sort of lasso them and bring them right in. They do it on a really long rope and very slowly just let the horse run around in circles and just let the horse do what it's going to do and slowly bring the rope in and slowly bring the rope in. And before you know it, the horse is right next to the rider and very calm. And so meditation is a process. We can get to know our mind, and we can get to observe times when we're being harmless to ourselves, thinking harmless thoughts, or thinking harmful thoughts, rather, and even harmful thoughts about others that we don't realize that perhaps we're criticizing, or we're being impatient with our thoughts, and we're constantly sort of nagging at situations instead of sort of looking for the positive. So meditation, a beautiful way to get to know our mind.
How was that? Steve.
That was...
Thanks. I also wanted to point out that, you know, we may have grown up with this Newtonian physics idea of an objective reality that's out there, and it happens in a linear fashion, cause and effect. We know now from quantum physics that that's not the way our reality is at all. That our reality is actually what's described as a mist of possibilities. You know, if you think for yourself about, you know, when you're making a decision, you're usually deciding amongst a number of possibilities. So that's the mist of possibilities. And then when we focus in on one, when we make a choice, which is the intention, then that precipitates that one option as being the option. And so sometimes we don't pause to think about how powerful our thoughts are. Our thoughts, that intention, that focused thought, literally shapes our reality. And so how we do that, whether we do that from a harmful perspective or a harmless perspective, is really critical.
Mm. Choice, I'm right. It is free will, and it is we possess that. And you know, it makes me want to mention your book, Positive Harmlessness in Practice, and I'm sure we'll bring it up regularly this whole month. But certainly, there are so many wonderful aspects of quantum physics that are discussed in the book. It's called Positive Harmlessness in Practice. Listeners, I would recommend it to all of you. Dorothy is somewhat of a scholar on harmlessness, and indeed, that idea of a multitude of realities, and it's our mind that thinks the thought, and it's as if it grabs it right from this sea of potentialities and brings it down, and then we start to create momentum around our thoughts. Once we lock in on a thought, what you'll find is that emotions arise, and they create even more momentum. So I always like to think of it as intention, relation, momentum. And it's that, like, that intention is the thought, and then relation, it's we find these emotions that relate to that, and we can sort of sense in our emotional field whether we're fairly excited about a thought or whether we feel a repulse or a negative reaction to a thought. And then if we stay with that thought, we really start to then act in a way that will create that as our own reality. So, you know, those three, that one, two, three, energy follows thought. And I like to think of emotions as energy in motion. Once we think the thought and that emotion starts, we are in motion to creating that as our reality. So boy, oh boy, indeed, watch those intentions and really take time with it, right, Dorothy?
Right. And if any listeners haven't thought about this before, or you can monitor yourself in, like, in a social situation, watch whether or not you can tell what someone else is thinking just without words. We have phrases in our language like, he looked daggers at me. When someone is thinking a hostile thought, you can literally feel that thought coming towards you. It's just an example of how powerful our thoughts are and how important it is for us to work on being harmless in our thoughts.
And to learn to dodge the dagger and not take it on is what I mean, actually. You know, not yes. Then follow that with your own thought and lock into that vibration. Move on. You know, turn away and move on if you can. So listen, we are at our first break, Dorothy. We'll be right back, listeners, after these words.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundations Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, Celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I am joined with my lovely co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. And Dorothy, I want to just again mention the book. We were just talking about intention, relation, and momentum. And what I love is that your book is a trilogy. And your book is actually a part of a trilogy. I mentioned Positive Harmlessness in Practice, a wonderful book that I'm holding in my hands right now, and it is full of post-its and folded ears all over. It's a wonderful book, and it's part two of a series called Enough for Us All, which I find interesting, that Positive Harmlessness in Practice, if you think of that as a trifecta, that one, two, three, it's the relationship aspect, and it certainly is. So, I don't know. Do you want to tell our listeners just a couple words about your book? Sure. And where they might find it?
Sure. Well, you can find the book anywhere that you normally shop for books, any of the online vendors. The book itself is, I wrote it to get at the fact that in most, if not all spiritual traditions, we say do no harm. So we tell ourselves and each other what not to do, but we don't say what we should do. And so that's why the title is Positive Harmlessness. How do we proactively become harmless in an environment where, from all that I've been able to study, we don't actually have a shared experience of harmlessness. We may, in our personal lives, have little pockets of it, but our shared experience is really drenched with harm or harmful messages in many forms. So it takes a conscious shift in order to make a difference. And the image that I've used in the book for that shift is the butterfly shift, right? If you make a small change, it can spread out and replicate and have widespread effect. So in the book, in addition to examining what harm and harmlessness are all about, there is also a series of exercises and the practice of noticing, feeling, and acting in terms of making changes in your life from harmful ways of being to harmless ways of being. And Steve, I'd also like to mention that at the end of the book, there is a harmlessness scale with a whole series of questions that you can answer in order to see where you fall on that scale. Again, as a way of just raising our awareness about harmlessness. I will alert readers to the fact that while the book is available as an ebook, the ebook does not have any of the exercises or the scale in it. So if you want that part, if you want the full experience, then you need to get the actual book.
And get the book, because those exercises are amazing. And the harmlessness scale is really quite profound, and even has a profound effect just reading the explanation of your approach and your observation and categorizing you know, different attitudes that would lead to a score, a high or a low score. It's quite fascinating, and it's used. I mean, it's used in the corporate world. It's used by many people actually to assess harmlessness in the workplace. I believe I'm right on that. Yeah,
certainly, and would love to have it spread.
Yay. And, you know, one thing just to mention again, and then we'll move on to really talking about putting harmlessness into practice, is that there's so much science in these books, Dorothy, and I really appreciate where we are in our day and age at this really dynamic crossroads where it seems that spirituality and science are meeting. And both of our organizations are steeped in the ageless wisdom that is really has been talking about consciousness. What is consciousness? How does consciousness come into form, and how are we an aspect of that consciousness, and how can we live a life that will actually promote and help the evolution of or work toward consciousness expanding? And that is the field of quantum physics, is really taking a look at how matter actually transforms energy. Energy transforms matter, and matter transforms energy. I'm sure you could say that a lot better than I could, but it's fascinating. The intersections of spirituality and science is what I'm getting at, and really a wonderful read. Yes.
Thank you, so, Steve. Thank you.
Harmlessness in what we say. You had said in the book that, you know, you really wanted to offer practices, meaning like bring it out into our everyday lives, which really means putting the thoughts to words. You know, words are nothing more than thoughts actually clothed to become speech, to become denser vibration. So once we say something, it's out there, right? And to write a book, to lecture as you do, is really to put the words out there. Put the harmlessness, that out into our minds and into our everyday lives.
That's very true. And I want to dispel a particular myth that I think has been with us a long time. There's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, or names will never hurt me. And that's not actually true. The vibration in spoken language is very powerful. It does have an impact. And so I hope we can lay that to rest. If we think about different groups that have been oppressed, we think about the way in which they reclaim language that has been used that has been negative. The whole movement of black is beautiful, or within the gay community, reclaiming the word dyke as being a word of power as opposed to a word of denigration. And there are a number of examples like that. But most importantly, remembering that language shapes how we understand our experience. And any of you that are listening who speak more than one language, I grew up in my early life in Asia. And so by the time I was 5, I was speaking English, Mandarin, and Punjabi. And each of those languages has a slightly different worldview embedded in it. And so when you grow up learning different languages, you really start to experience yourself and others in different ways, depending upon which language, your language family you're in. And that to me is another illustration of how powerful sound is, how powerful words are.
It's almost as if different geographic locations and different cultures manifest different sounds, which manifest different words, which, you know, really illustrate the relationship of that culture, but in form, in word form.
Mm-hmm.
I also think of magic. I think of words, magical words, in a book called Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which is a book part of the Blue Books within the Ageless Wisdom. Tibetan master says, literally, speech is literally a great magical force. And I love that. And when he makes these statements in these books, there is no refuting it. This has been meditated on and tested and tried for hundreds of years. Speech is literally a great magical force. And when you think of somebody saying sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, you think of the use of words in magic. You know, you just think of abracadabra. Or Harry Potter using, you know, ridiculous or expecto patronum, you know, and these words actually move physical matter, or they create a complete change in our experience and environment. And so, you know, when you think of the accurate definition of magic is conscious use of energy and putting form to a thought by speaking it and sharing it with another is actually using energy consciously. So, you know, I agree that we need to put that to rest, that words are very powerful. It makes me think of a couple summers ago, that awful Charleston shooting, where the young man went into the church and shot the practitioners, the parishioners. And, at the trial, the relatives of the perpetrator literally stood up and said, "I forgive you." The quote is, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her. I believe it was her mother or aunt. And I will never hold her again. But I forgive you and I have mercy on your soul." And this was the statement in the court to the perpetrator, you know, "I forgive you and have mercy on your soul." And those words were so powerful. They were like magic that, you know, you saw the Confederate flag, which was a huge symbol of this murderer, really, and of the ideas that he held close to his heart and close to his mind and his thought forms that influenced this action. And before you know it, you know, the Confederate flag was coming down from South Carolina. It was being taken off of shops, and you saw that image no longer represented the thoughts and the words and the deeds of the general public. So I feel like those thoughts really shifted the tide. So very powerful, you know, thoughts really do elicit change indeed.
Well, and we can think also in some of the traditions, like the Christian tradition, in the beginning was the Word. You know, our universe, we think of it as solid, but it's actually vibrational. We ourselves are waveforms primarily. And so that vibration, which is the basis of our universe, you know, that is what words are made of. That's the sound that comes forward. And there was that movie, Victor Victoria, where Julie Andrews sang. I mean, she has a beautiful voice, right? Highly trained soprano, and she hit that very high note, and the wine glass shattered, right? That's the power of sound.
Yes.
Pure sound.
Can form or can separate. We'd like the words that bring together, right?
That's right.
So that harmlessness in what we do, we've talked about what we think and our thoughts, and harmlessness in what we say. And as you say, it's all vibrational, that vibration gets denser and denser. We go from a thought to a word to an action. So when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about harmlessness in what we do. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Hi there, my name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and a spiritual growth coach. I talk about this all the time on my show, listening to your body and acting on intuition. What do these things even mean? Here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I figured out I was doing it all wrong. I mean, I wasn't unhappy, but was I really happy? And then life sent me a spiritual smackdown, like it does, because I wasn't listening to my best resource, my body and my intuition. I was living from a place of fear. I was stressed and I was in pain, and I seemed to be happily unhappy. Mostly, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And what I didn't know was that my body and my intuition had all the tools I needed to live life as my best self. I'm sharing the tools I have learned over the last 10 years of my healing journey in my online class, Soul Awakening, beginning September 19th. Learn more. Go to audreymichelle.com/awaken. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/awaken.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Known for his keen sense of humor, contagious smile, and extensive esoteric wisdom, EJ translates deep spiritual wisdom into practical advice to empower you to live your happiest, most fulfilled experience. Mystic Living Radio, Deep Spiritual Wisdom, Practical Advice with EJ, Eliyahu Gion. This hit show delivers profound experiences for all who want to live life to their deepest desires. Tune in monthly for Mystic Living Radio. Learn more by visiting vitaltransformation.org.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
So, Steve, before we go on to harmlessness of what we do, I just want to pick up a couple of more things in terms of what we say, because we've talked about this before on this show, but I think it's important to remember that there are times when what we say can be very harmful. For example, if we offer unsolicited criticism, and we can also be harmful by not speaking, by remaining silent when someone else is being denigrated, for example. So we need to be able to balance speech and silence accurately. And there's that saying, we are known by our speech and we are known by our reticence, by the things we say and by the things we leave unsaid, and are judged by the quality of our conversation.
Indeed. Well,
and that reminds me of those, remember the three ways of evaluating what you were saying? Was it kind? Was it, I forget the other
is
two.
Is it necessary?
There
and is it
yes.
true?
Yes. So I think that that's very relevant here in terms of when we want to be harmless in what we say.
Certainly, because, when we put that out there, or when we choose not to correct someone who has put something out there that is harmful or damaging, and we simply let it go, it creates our world. You know, we, again, there are thought forms. Someone has just put a really lousy couch in your living room, and you got to say, hey, I don't like that couch. You got to get it out. These thought forms. It makes me think of just a couple weeks ago, that Reddit user who posted that anti-CNN meme with Donald Trump wrestling the CNN logo head and throwing it down rather violently, and turned into this big sort of this big to-do on CNN. But I really found it so interesting to think about what transpired and what was revealed through that. This gentleman put this on Reddit, and obviously Donald Trump or someone related to him saw it and gave it to him. And on the president's Twitter feed, he posted this video of him throwing down this CNN. Had a lot of people at first thought that he created it, and it became this big deal that he was using the White House name with this sort of violent throwdown. But beyond all that, the Reddit user then apologized. And I have a quote of what he said because I find it so interesting. He said, "I am not the person that the media portrays me to be in real life. I was trolling and posting things to get a reaction and never meant any of the hateful things I said in those posts." And he went on to say, "I would also like to apologize for the posts made that were racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic. I am in no way this kind of person. I love and accept people of all walks of life. I do not advocate violence against the press." All of that said, man, oh man, if you look at the posts that this gentleman made, if I can call him a gentleman, they are so anti-Semitic, they are so racist, so violent and bigoted. And you know, trolling, for those of you who might, I know trolling is sort of like trolling for fish. You cast a net really wide, you put something that's going to create a lot of reaction and a lot of emotional uproar. It's going to get people to respond to you and write back and counter your bigotry with their own form of bigotry. And it just creates this whole big hateful tornado. And that's trolling. That's what he's looking for attention. And he says he's not that kind of person. But Dorothy, come on, if you spend your time creating these thoughts, then creating these sentences, creating a video like that, putting it online, a lot of your energy is going into that. And, you know, it is just very revealing that we think that these have no effect, that we simply want attention. But deep down inside, we've got to look at ourselves and realize that we are really just steeped in hate. And it can be very dangerous. He said at the end that he would not be posting any more of these. He took down his account and he, you know, said that hopefully it would end there. But this is all we know of this guy. And mm-hmm. as much as we've been talking about the president, he's now energetically related to this president. You know, talk about karma. I mean, this guy's now linked to him, and good luck with that. Yeah.
Well, and another thing that we need to keep in mind is that you can say something, you can then apologize and try to retract, but the reverberation of that first saying continues. It goes yes. on and on and on. You can't really call it all back. And people who hear the first may never hear the apology. So it's really important to be very careful, it's important that we be very careful about what we do. And it's not just what we do, again, it's what we don't do. It's when we fail to act, or fail to at least witness some, you know, harm that's being done, even though we are not in a position to prevent the harm, at least we can witness it and speak out against it.
Yes, for sure. It takes a lot of awareness. It takes living in awareness really day to day to be mindful of others' criticism, of criticism that exists within yourself, and really trying to call people on it. Because, Dorothy, you were talking about vibration. Literally, when you say something really negative, really offensive, what you notice is that vibration is actually quite dense. You know, it's kind of like talking about the way thoughts go to emotions, go to reality. When you think a thought about a snake, you can, if you're scared of snakes, the thought about it feels a certain way. But when you see a snake, the emotion that arises is actually a lot more dense than that. And you think of the density of adrenaline and of the physical body that gets shaken, that has to sort of run from the snake. So mm-hmm. really, when we're in these really sort of negative, critical, dark places, the energy tends to get quite dense. So we really have to work at lifting up and creating space and allowing and just creating a higher, lighter, finer vibration in our lives and in our relationships with other people, for sure.
And absolutely. And I think it's important for us to note all of the different ways in which we can be harmful, because these are all things that we need to practice not doing. We have just, you know, basic harassment, which is harm to the spirit. We have discrimination. We have the kind of harassment that demeans and belittles and humiliates. We have sexual harassment. We have abuse of authority, which has been in the news a lot lately. We have bullying, which is something, especially the online bullying, that has been getting more and more attention. But it happens, again, it's one of those things that happens so frequently that we become kind of numb to it, and we just expect that it will happen, but it is not appropriate. And this political environment right now with our current president, this kind of bullying and negative fake news, all of the different ways of harassing and putting down another person, are becoming very common features of everyday news. So we need to be on high alert that we're not absorbing this and that we're not modeling it in our own behavior.
And that it doesn't become in some degree, number one, an addiction to the adrenaline that is, you know, this very heavy hormone that rushes through our system, but that it doesn't become a form of entertainment. You know, we find the news, I find, is often just really going for the most drama, really going for the two talking heads that will battle it out and replaying that. So it becomes also a choice to not only pay attention to that aspect of life and not celebrate it, but look for the good story, look for the sincerity, look for the kindness, and actually bring that out. You know, find ways to talk to one another in ways that are supportive and in ways that are complementary, and really take note if your focus tends to constantly be drifting towards the drama, and just make it your intention to move in the other direction. I think that's, you know, just always so helpful to be aware of that sort of, you know, mm-hmm. when bullying and trolling become just all about attention and a rush, it can be a very dangerous thing within our human nature, I find. Mm-hmm. Well, Dorothy, it brings us just to another break, and we're going to wrap up this show on harmlessness. I look forward to next week. We are going to talk about strengthening our harmlessness muscle. We've talked quite a bit about, we set out this month to sort of talk about harmlessness as much as we talk about harm. So I look forward to next week, where we're going to talk about ways to strengthen that harmlessness muscle. So when we go to when we come back from this break, we're going to tell you a little bit more about that and wrap up thought, word, and deed. We'll be right back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com. How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm joined with my lovely co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, and we have been talking about all month, the month of July, about harmlessness, ways in which we can bring harmlessness into our lives and really create a peaceful, more kind and generous, respectful world. Dorothy, some more words on harmlessness?
Well, Steve, I just want to take a moment before we dive back in to comment to our listening audience that this show marks the end of a half year of this collaboration. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah, 6 months of collaboration between the School for Esoteric Studies. You can find more information about us at esotericstudies.net. And Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com, right, Steve?
Indeed. And we have covered so much, Dorothy, when I think back to starting with humanity. I mean, really, we started with the biggest topic ever, which is who are we and why are we here and what are we doing? And we seem to just be refining it more and more each month. So I've loved how each month really seems to build upon the last. And I got to say that the Hope Month was just really profound. And so much of what we discussed on that show really stays with me. And I find myself pondering it quite a bit and putting it into action. So listeners, yes, please, on Transformation Talk Radio, look at our archives. And you can also find them at spiritfireradio.com. And they're also on the School for Esoteric Studies website.
Net.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. So, see, we can think, before we end the show, we can think about ways in which harmlessness, the whole topic of harmlessness, links back to other things that we've talked about. I'm thinking particularly about the fact that harmlessness involves a strong moral compass, that it behaving in a harmless manner is, what it is acting for the common good. You know, instead of thinking, being so self-absorbed on, you know, what do I want, what's important for me, really putting ourselves in the context of the whole and thinking about what is best for the whole. And I think it's important that we keep in mind that being harmless does not necessarily mean being kind and friendly. It's not that kind of smile and everything's wonderful, because there are aspects of harmlessness that are, well, some people may experience them as quite harsh, because being harmless involves ending harmful behavior. It means eliminating ways that we behave that are harmful to ourselves or to others. And that's a very specific set of actions and reflections that is absolutely critical if we want to, in fact, be harmless.
Well, Dorothy, I also think of you know, that intentions, you know, this talk of intention, when you say that harmlessness doesn't just equal being kind or being friendly, that you know, it's not the same as desire, like sort of wanting the world to be peaceful and wanting people to practice goodwill. That intention has a will aspect. You know, it's goodwill, that there is actually movement, that there's action. So I find that when I think of if you think, well, I'm kind and I'm friendly, then I'm being harmless. Well, no, you've got to actually participate in the world and actually work to expand and to notice and to get involved in situations that might need a reframing or just might need to be tinctured and might need more of an intention to create a different sort of reality for us all. So, yeah, I would definitely agree with you.
Yeah, and setting limits is part of that. I'd like to share a personal story, if I might, because I think this may illustrate some of the complexity here. You know, we have a responsibility to not be complicit, to prevent harm. And at the point of time, this is years ago now, both of my parents have passed on, but at the time when they were separating, well, they had separated and they were in the process of getting divorced, they remained good friends, but the process of that separation was painful. It was particularly painful for my father, who really, really did not want to divorce my mother. And my mother at that point was living out in the desert in the southwestern United States. And my father came. He was in a station wagon. He'd been living back east. He came in a station wagon, and he parked in a campsite right next to where my mother was living. And this was in the summer. It was like 100 degrees, 105 degrees. And he's living in this station wagon. And, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, this is not a situation that can continue. It's not good for his health. It's not actually good for the future of whatever friendship relationship they were going to have. And so one evening I went down to the campsite and I said I needed to talk to him, and I told him that he needed to leave. He was very, very angry at me and said it was none of my business. I said, I'm saying this out of love. You cannot stay here. You know that you're separating. You know that the divorce is in process, and you have to get on with your life. You have to take better care of yourself. You cannot stay here. That was a very hard message for him to hear. It was a very hard message for me to deliver, but it was absolutely critical, because if the situation had continued, it would just continue to create more harm. So to me, that's always been an interesting memory to reflect on in terms of the importance sometimes of setting limits and doing something that seems painful in order to end harm that is happening. And in fact, he did leave, and he did move on with his life and remarry, and you know, they developed a very strong friendship after that point.
Pivotal moment for all of you. You know, talk about talk about for the sake of harmlessness, you know, for the sake of no harm. On any level, that you have the, first of all, you know, you've got the power to observe from a higher place and do what's right. It makes me think of strengthening our harmlessness muscle, which is what we're going to talk about next week. And there, you know, I'm sure you learned so much, and it made all of you stronger. And I hope generated respect. I mean, I hope in the end that he saw that was the best for himself and really sort of honored your choice to do that.
Well, and it was, I think back to the Dalai Lama saying once that it is appropriate to kill someone if you are helping end them creating negative karma. but you have to do it out of compassion. You have to do it out of love. And I think the same thing was true for the, you know, in that instance, I was very aware of that going into the instance that I had to speak from love. I had to speak from a respect for my father, a desire to preserve his dignity in the situation. I couldn't do it out of anger or criticism.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that has to come from a very distinct vibration, and one that takes some time to practice indeed. Wow, good for you. Well, Dorothy, that brings us to the end of the show. Beautiful. I hope listeners, you know, you can think of look back at some hard decisions you made that you learned something and see that it was for the better. Essentially that's what we hope all of our actions are doing is creating a better situation for others, for ourselves, and making the world a better place, a higher vibration place. That's the spiritual path. It comes in many forms, huh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Dorothy, I look forward to next week to talk a bit more about that, about strengthening our harmlessness muscle in ways that we all can practice harmlessness and bring that more into our lives. And then it made me just think that the next month is on compassion. So I look forward to hearing more about that statement from the Dalai Lama and really pondering compassion and really the stability that it takes to come from a place of love and respect, even in those difficult moments. It is really something we all can aspire to. All right, Dorothy, it's been a wonderful conversation. I'm so happy every week when we're together having these great talks.
Me too, Steve. Talk to you next week.
All right. See you. Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome. Have a nice day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living in practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.